Hi, I'm Kyle Brown. Today, I'm sharing an interview I did with Quest product manager Cliff Tomasini on understanding sensible and latent heat. So tell me, what really is the difference between a sensible and a latent heat load?
Okay, great question. I think there's two ways of looking at this problem. There's the kind of layman's terms, and there's kind of the real geeky engineering way of looking at it. In layman's terms, sensible heat refers to temperature, and latent heat refers to humidity. You know, it's really a fancy way of saying we need to control sensible, we need to control temperature, and we need to control latent, we need to control humidity. The geeky way of answering the question is that these are both forms of energy. In the sensible side, we are referring to energy that doesn't change phases. So phases are liquids, gases, and solids. As water vapor is in the air and it condenses, it changes phases. If you get ice in your freezer, it changes phases. So sensible does not change phases, and latent does. And so, again, going back to the original layman's terms, sensible often just refers to temperature, and humidity refer to the latent, where we're changing from a gas to a solid or to a liquid. It's latent that we spend most of our time on. Most people are familiar with sensible. Our homes have cooling systems in them. Not all of our homes have dehumidifiers in them. So typically when people think of the problems, they're often thinking of, at least for HVAC, they're thinking of sensible.
Why is it important to work a dehumidification system alongside an HVAC system?
In this particular case, the value of the product that we have is tremendous. And the amount of time it takes to go from seed to harvest is about 3 months. And so in doing this, we want to make sure that there's no risk. And by having everything in one, having all the eggs in one basket, you just expose yourself to greater risk. Eventually, mechanical equipment fails, whether it's cooling systems, dehumidification systems, fans, whatever, motors, eventually wear out. There is a life cycle. Yeah. Within that, you probably, by the time that's going to happen, you've probably forgotten about it. Inevitably, you're going to have a problem. And so by having a certain level of redundancy, which is multiple systems of either side, and by having the system separated, you just lower your risk. So to me, it's a function of risk and just good business sense. Oftentimes, people will use their cooling system to be a dehumidifier. It's a real simple process. By reheating the air, we force the cooling system to run longer. You can do this. It works. It will do the job. The problem is, it's just very expensive. Think about it in terms of horsepower and torque. We can make an engine produce horsepower or torque. Torque is kind of the muscle. Horsepower is the speed. So in a sports car, we have horsepower because we want to go fast. In a diesel truck, we want to pull a lot of weight because we got a big trailer behind us. It's fundamentally the same engine parts, but they're tuned to do a job more precisely. In the same way, HVAC system can remove sensible heat or energy, and it can remove latent energy. By using a system that is dedicated to each of those features, or having two different systems dedicated to each of those features, you're going to be more efficient.
Let's talk about sizing a little bit. How do you determine the proper dehumidification setup for the size of your cultivation?
Yeah, great question. This is kind of a funny one. We go to Colorado, and we go to New Mexico, and we go to Arizona, which are some great markets for our products, believe it or not. The first couple times, occasionally you run into a customer that says, hey, do you know where you're at? It's like going to the North Pole with an ice machine.
Yeah.
You know where you're at, right? So, yeah, again, it seems odd at first, but basically, if there's no moisture present, you don't need a dehumidifier. So where does the moisture come from? Fundamentally, we're sealing our grow rooms. We're closing them off, and we're closing them off to have a very precise control of our environment, to have a very precise, just to decide every little thing we give the plant, we want to give it exactly what it needs, not too much and not too little. And so by basically closing off our room to have the ability to give the plant what it needs, we're actually trapping everything that's in that room. And you can't really see what's in the air, so it's hard to imagine. But we're feeding these plants water every day, and where does that water go? Well, some of that water makes the plant bigger, but most of the water goes into the air. About 97% of that water goes in the air, according to the universities. So if we feed a plant a gallon of water a day and the room is closed, 97% of a gallon ends up in the air. So we'll just call it a 1-to-1 ratio. And so you feed a plant a gallon, it converts that water into vapor, and our job is to convert that vapor back into liquid. So the answer is, however much water you feed your plants in a given space per day is roughly the amount of water that we need to remove per day.
So thanks very much.
Yeah, my pleasure.